not dog. Okay, so some said, let's learn that tree orchards are chayev in peah from the following pasuk. It says kisivtzar karmecha, when you harvest your grape vineyard. So the end of the pasuk says lo solel acharecha. It says do not be ma'olel behind you. Now normally, we learned that that means also acharecha means you're supposed to leave a certain type of grape which doesn't grow in clusters but rather goes single fashion on the vine. That's normally the way we learn darshan the word lo solel acharecha with the phrase which says lo solel acharecha, which is at the end of that pasuk. However, here the Yerushalmi learns that phrase differently. Ma'at shmamina, how do you derive from this pasuk? Now again, the derech of the Yerushalmi is, or generally, it only brings the beginning of the pasuk, even where the proof is from the end of the pasuk, and the Yerushalmi here is no exception. The Yerushalmi here begins to bring the beginning of the pasuk, yisivtzar karmecha, even though it's proof that you have to leave peah from trees from the end of the pasuk, which says lo sa'olel acharecha. So the Yerushalmi proves as follows. Much, I mean, what did he derive from this? Rabbi Yonah said, "Lo tadakte, do not be careful in taking every last grape which is on the vine." So lo tadakte means do not be meticulous in taking each and every one, meaning leave some of it on the tree, meaning leave peah on your tree. Kamada tamar on your grapevine, to be specific here. Kamada tamar, like we learn, v'olel lomo. It says that, I believe it's Yirmiyahu who davens to Hashem and says, please mete out meticulous punishment to the Babylonians like they meted out towards us. So olel means to be meticulous and exacting. So we're saying when you harvest, don't be exacting, meaning leave stuff on the tree for the poor people. And also, kisach v'tzeisecha, and again, this is the beginning of the pasuk, the end of the pasuk says, lo sifo'er acharecha. What do you learn from the end of the pasuk? It says, lo sifo'er acharecha. Rabbi Yen says, pe'er, lo sifo'er, is like peah. What's a peah? A pay is a corner of the corner, right? So lo sefer is like a payah, meaning that from this we see they're supposed to leave the end of your field to the poor people. Rabbi Yehuda said lo takivu pe'as roshchem. The pe'er is like the payah, meaning the payah of the field. Okay, so from here we see that you should leave the olives. These are olives. The first pasuk of Lo Solel Acharecha was by grapes. This pasuk is by olives. And now the Gemara picks up on this. Umazais v'kerem miuchodim. How are an olive orchard and a vineyard unique in that, or how are what are their common denominators? Shalikotasankachas, you harvest them all one time. Umachnison lekiyum, and their fruit can be preserved in the form of grape juice or olive oil, and therefore they are chayv and pay of cold over shalikotasankachas. So do we derive from this anything which is collected all at one time? There's one harvest period for it. Umachnason lekiyum. And you can preserve it over time. Chayav peah is chayav peah. Maybe you say ma'azayis v'kerem yuchodim shechavi b'bikurim v'chayav peah. Well, maybe you could say kerem zayis are from the shiva aminim. Of course, they're from the seven species, right? So maybe you'll say imak zayis v'kerem yuchodim are unique shechavi b'bikurim that they're chayav b'bikurim. Right, you have to give bikurim from kerem and zayis because they're from the shiva aminim. So maybe I'll say I've called the shechem bikurim chayav. So to anything else which is chayav and bikurim is chayav and peah, but something which is not chayav and bikurim is not chayav and peah. Maybe only the shiva aminim are chayav and peah, not anything else. Tamulomar kitzircha. That's why it says kitzircha in the area of the Torah which speaks about peah. It says kitzircha, which means afilu k'tzir ores, even a harvest of rice, afilu k'tzir dechad, even a harvest of millet, obviously not just the shivas aminim. Ask the Gemara, Yomar Zayis, tell us that there's a concept of pear by olives. By Yomarker, and don't tell us the concept of pear by grapevines. Why need both? So I'm going to tell you why. Well, not yet. Yomar Zayis, by Yomarker, Sh'il Nemar Zayis, Lo Nemarker, oh yeah, it is now. Sh'il Nemar Zayis, Lo Nemarker, we would have just mentioned that there's pear by olives and not by grapes. Ha'isiyam would have said, Zayis Shu Potamina Peret, olives where you do not have to give peret. Peret means the ones you forget on the tree. Okay, you don't have to give peret by zaysim. It doesn't say peret there. So I might say there it's chayvin peret, because we say, well, at least give one thing, one aspect to the poor. Kerem shu chayv peret lo yechayv peret, but maybe a kerem which is chayvin peret, in other words, from a vineyard, you do have to take peret. Zanim already getting that stuff left on the tree, so maybe say it's not chayvin peret, right? Havitzorich hu shiomar kerem. So that teaches you have those vineyard that even though the anim are getting something else already from it, which is the peret, you have to give the peah nonetheless. Now, what about vice versa? Elu namar kerem, right. Or what about if you would have just written a grapevines, a vineyard, v'lon emar zayis, and he wouldn't have written about olive orchards. Ha'isiyam would have said, kerem shu chay beperet chay bepey, or I would have said a kerem, a vineyard, which is chay and peret, is chay and peret, then it would have said the exact opposite for him. I would have said, grapevines, which are chay and peret, oh, we see that aniyim get grapes. I would say, grapes maybe have a double whammy. Once they get peret, so let them get peya as well. However, zayis, right, but zayis she'enu chayv peret, enu chayv peret.
All or nothing.
Right, it's either all or nothing. Right, maybe it's olives where you don't have to give peret, maybe they don't get peret either. Have tzorch shomer zayis v'tzorch shomer kerem. That's why I have to write both zayis and kerem because of the distinctions. I might have said either double or nothing, or I might have said one in each. So therefore, I have to tell us that neither of those things are true. Rather, in grapes, you have to give both peret and peah, and in zaysim, all you have to give is peah, even though there is no peret. Okay? Says the Gemara, olives come out, v'limeid, and we extrapolate them, al kol eilanos, on all trees have peah. V'yotza kerem, and also kerem goes out. V'lima el kailonos peret. Now an interesting. Sorry, it's a question. V'yetze kerem, let kerem come out, and lilima el kailonos peret. Kashem shiotza zayis, lima el kailonos peret. Yeah, there's a little bit of excess verbiage here. Let me read it from the beginning again. I didn't necessarily punctuate it correctly. Yotza zayis v'limed ali lo kol ilonos peah. From olives we extrapolate all the trees of chayim peah. Period. V'yetza kerem v'limed al kol ilonos peret. Let's use kerem and learn that all trees have this peret, this stuff you forget tree. Kashem shiyot is ice, limit alkoi lonus peah, i.e., let's say, just like we extrapolate from olives and all trees, there's the concept of peah. Kachetze kerem v limit alkoi lonus peret. Let's use kerem and teach that by all trees, the stuff you forget on it is also chayv in, you must give to the aniyim, and let's say that all trees have peret.
Is kerem considered a tree?
What?
Kerem is a vine. Uh-huh. Is that still considered a tree?
Still considered a tree, yeah. Any growth. Right, anything above ground. So says Gemara, Rabbi
stuffed on the vineyard, on the trees.
Right. Rabbi Avon said, the reason why we don't extrapolate peret from grapes to the rest of the trees in Torah, because Rabbi Avon, Darvishu Shavel Ishneem Melamed. Something which is in common, since grapes and olives are the archetypes in the Torah, the archetypes. So it's the archetypes of the Torah. So anything which is common between the two of them, we extrapolate to the rest of the trees, right? V'davar she'eino shavish neim, something which is not in common for both of them, i.e., peret, we do not extrapolate, enum lamed, does not, we do not extrapolate from there to the rest of the trees. Now, daiti to Rabbi Shmuel Micha. According to Rabbi Shmuel, this is good. What is Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel darash, Rabbi Shmuel said, kol davar, he darshan, he paskin, kol davar shu bichlau, I don't know if paskin is the right word, he issued a principle. Kol davar shu bichlau, anything which is included in a general principle, b'yotza lidom b'davar chodesh, and came out of the general principle to teach you a new thing, nekar min haklal, it's uprooted from the general principle, v'areu b'chidusho, and now it's new, it stands on its own. It's distinct. According to this, tzorech shiyomar peo b'kerem. I understand why it must say peo by kerem. Why must say peo by kerem? Because kerem is unique. It's got peret. Maybe it's different. Since it's different, therefore it's a chiddush. And since it's a chiddush, I would not have known that there's peo by kerem unless the Torah had said explicitly that there's peo by kerem. Again, Rabbi Shmuel says it's called the Vashaya Bichlal. V'yotza min haklal lodun hareyu b'chidusho. Anything which was in the cloud and came out of the cloud with some new principle. It was part of a general group of trees. And it came out and now it has a specific new detail, which is, in the case of grapevine, peret. Right? So there's Rabbi Shmuel says, oh, once it's out there on a limb, no pun intended, once it's out there on the limb by itself, so therefore in that you can't apply all the general principles to it, says the Gemara, according to him, I understand why he had to write specifically by trees that there's peah. By grapevines that there's peah. Because since grapevines are unique, that they have peret, maybe they don't have peah, right? Could be that they're unique. So that's why you have to tell me, lo sola acharecha, that there's peah by grapevines as well. But al das rabbonon, do you have a place, Uncle?
No.
Al das rabbonon.
I didn't follow what you were saying, though. You know, I tried to, but it wasn't.
Yeah. El al daitin rabbonon.
Oh, okay.
Al daitin rabbonon, but according to the logic of the rabbis, the inu, I mean, who we know say, hareyu bichlolov, hareyu bichidusho. The stuff which has new concepts attached to it, such as the grapevines, which have the concept peret, still do not lose the advantage of being under the general category of trees. They're still trees. It's true, they're specialized trees. They have peret in them, but they're still trees. The stuff which you leave on the guy, forget on the tree, like shikha by grain.
What's the difference between that and olives? Why would that?
We don't know. There is a kasuv, but it's different. There is no such thing as peret by olives. By olives, even if you got them on the tree and go back and get them, why is it like that? I can't tell you for sure, but that's what it is. So in any event, so according to Rabban, who say that anything which was in the cloud,
because they take it off easy, it all comes off.
Could be there must be some logic to it.
You can leave it. The other stuff is harder. Prune.
Could be. I don't know. There is some logic to it. What it is, I don't know. Especially since I'm a city slicker, what do I know about what trees look like?
You don't have the stuff they have today.
So according to again, al das the rabbanon dino namer rebbe chov rebbe chidusha kol rabbanon who say that anything which has a novel concept does not lose the characteristics of the general category. So therefore, lazy dove and never pay might have to say pay by care. It's part of the subset of trees, so it's part of the subset of, it's just a subset of trees. So it's just a subset of trees, so of course it has pay. Why don't I need a special service of custom to teach me that there's pay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Avun. Rabbi Avun said, Ilo yotza ela kerem, yo'us hava makshayo. If there was the only exception in the Torah, if the only time it said pay on the Torah by a specific tree was by kerem, you'd have a good question on Rabbanan. Why does it have to tell you pay by kerem? They're part of the generality of trees. However, achshav shiyatza kerem vizayis, Bear in mind, how do we know that there's Karen? I shouldn't tell you the bears in mind because I didn't make it clear to you tonight. The Gemara started, when we started the Gemara tonight, we started with the assumption that we're going to learn out Peah for trees for somewhere, from somewhere else. From Lo Salech Recha by grapevines, and from the Pasuk of Lo Sivtzavka Lo Sfarech Recha by olive trees. However, yesterday we already learned a drasha which teaches us that there's Peah by trees. The drasha we learned yesterday is Sotcha. It's the extra word Sotcha, which it says by Peah. And that Sotcha teaches us that even trees are Chayvim Peah. So now, on Omid Aleph, the Gemara was going the entire time with the Kerem and Zayas derivation. But now, at the bottom of Omid, now we're going back to the Sada derivation. And we're saying, okay, after we found the derivation by Kerem and Zayas, based on the previous Gemara which you had learned yesterday, that there's also a pasuk of Sotcha. So now it seems to be a lot of extra learning. In other words, I have Sotcha. Why do I need Kerem and why do I need Zayas as well? So now by Kerem I need it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel says any Chiddush loses any subcategory which has unique principle, unique characteristics, loses the characteristics of the general category. So therefore, I might have thought Kerem loses its chiv and peah. That's why the Torah writes its chiv and peah. According to Rabbanan, we said that was difficult. Because according to Rabbanan, any specific category which has unique parameters does not lose the general category definition. And therefore, according to Rabbanan, so we would say, it seems, that Kerem would be chayv and peah, even though it's chayv also imperit, even though it has unique qualities, because it doesn't lose the qualities of the general category. Now, the Gemara has to answer that question. Again, we're saying that now, let's look at the whole picture. We have Sotcha, which teaches us all trees. We have Los Ola Acharecha by Kerem. We have Los Sefar Acharecha by Zayas. So says more, why do I need all three? And that's what he's focusing on now. It says, Rabbi Avun. Rabbi Avun said, Ilu lo yotza ele kerem, if the only exception which was written outside of the general category is kerem, would be grave, finds yos have a makshah, he would have been asking a question. Achshav shiyotza kerem vizayis. Now I know that that's not true. There are two exceptions, both kerem and zayis. Did I skip? No. Achshav shiyotza kerem vizayis. Ilu nemar zayis v'lo nemar kerem. I tell you why they're both mentioned. Because were you both just to mention zayis and not kerem? Ha'isi omer, I would have said zayis shu poter mi peret chayov. A zayis which is exempt from peret is chayev v'peah. Kerem shu chayev v'peret, a kerem which is susceptible to peret, ye poter mi peah. Maybe that is poter from peah. Kimad tamar gabi katsir. Like I say by the harvest. Sorry, that's the end of the sentence. Kerem shukhai parrot, yeah, both of me pair, period. In other words, now, why did I have to write? The Rusham is really evading one question. The Rushami is answering one question but evading another, and the Rushami doesn't address the other question. The Rushami is answering, okay, why do I have to write Kerem? Tell you why. Because since I wrote Zayas, I have to write Kerem. Because Zayas is a tree which is singled out, and we're told is Chayev in Peah, and not in Peret. So I might say that Kerem, which is Chayev in Peret, is not Chayev in Peah. That's why I had to write Kerem to tell me that even Kerem is Chayev in Peah. The question Yerushalmi begs and doesn't answer, though, is, so why was Zayas singled out? Why does it say, Lo Sefarach Recha by Zayas? Don't single out Zayas either. Don't do me any favors. Don't single out Zayas and don't single out Kerem. In other words, once it says, Sotcha, I know all trees. I don't have to write Zayas. Yes, once I wrote Zayas, I also have to write Kerem. But why do I have to write Zayas? So it's not clear.
Because of the parent issue.
No.
No, well, Kerem is the
vine. No, but Zayas doesn't have, but no trees have parent, and neither does Zayas. The only tree that has parent is grapevine. The only trees that have parents of grapevines. So the kasha is...
That's a reason for having a caravan.
Right, but
not the Zayas. So we don't have really an understanding of why by Zayas it says Peah, not by... Why by Zayas the Torah saw it fit to repeat that it has Peah.
Because it's such a unique quality of olives, it's so important to...
Maybe. One could say Svaris, but I'm saying the Ushambi doesn't answer the question. Okay? Says one new thing. We're in the first wide line on Chesma base. Kamada Tamar, Gabi, could you have the place, Uncle?
No, I don't know what. It doesn't have
to I see I'm going to have to make you photocopies because it's not the same, not exactly the same gear, so you're right.
Don't want much for that. So I don't think at all. yeah, you have different. Yeah,
Kamada Tamar. Kamada Tamar, Gabi, Peo. Okay? Kamada Tamar, Gabi, Peo. Just like you said, by.
It's okay.
Right. We're over here. Now we're at the, by you, we're in the first wide line on Chesem base. Like it says by Kotir. Just like we said by Peah, what is defined as a harvest which requires Peah? Something where you gather all of the crop in one period of the year and you keep and preserve it. That's Chayv Peah. Okay. Let's say it's standing by workers. There's a halacha that a worker who's working on the field gets to eat from the produce. You know that?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll say that what does he get to eat from? It says when he's harvesting, right? So maybe it's only the same things which fulfill the parameters of harvest by Peah. Those are things that you get to eat from by work around the field, which would exclude most fruit. Because most fruit, at least citrus fruit, I shouldn't say most fruit, most citrus fruit is not gathered at one time during the year. It's gathered over the course of time as each one ripens. That's what esrogim are like, right? Esrogim vary they in ripening throughout the year. So therefore, I might say, so that would preclude the poel, the worker, from eating from many of the things he harvests. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Shani, poel is different. Shani is shone. The chsiv, it says, when you pluck raw wheat, melilos is raw wheat, which you rub off the kernel when you take it off the tree. Afilu midavar shein elokim means that even something which you're not going to preserve, right? It's not something which you just pop right into your mouth. When do you preserve things? When you harvest a large amount and you put it into your storehouse. So here, even kind of, let's call it an immediate harvest, is chayev. It can be considered to be part and parcel of the category in which you, the worker, can eat. Why? Because where it brings down the worker eating, it doesn't say uvekutz ro or bekitzir cha. It says vekatafta melilos, when you pluck little pieces, one at a time even. So from this we see that even when you're doing stuff which is not chayv and peah, because you're doing stuff which you're not going to make a large harvest and put in your warehouse, nonetheless, there's a chiyuv of giving, allowing the worker to eat. Tani Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda said, Rot ve'tmarim, fat, thick, juicy dates, literally saucy dates, are potter mipturim in apea, they're exempt from pea. Levisha ein, rishon shibayim mamtin la'achron, yos, the first one, in among them, in other words, ones which ripen early, don't wait until the last one to become ripe. Yos means literally pretty. But in other words, we harvest them in succession. It's not likitoso ke'achas. Once one is ripe, we take it and we leave the other on the vine to develop. So therefore, it's not likitoso ke'achas. I'm Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi said, "My time with the Rabbanu. What's the logic of Rabbanu argue on?" Oh, this can't be Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Huda. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi. Some Baris else because he's explaining Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Huda.
He has Rabbi Huda.
He does. So it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda explaining his own logic. That's what's happening. Because here it says, Tani Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Amir, Rotvei, Tomorrow, Turim, Minah, Pelfish, Ein, Rishish, Be, Mati, Lachron, Yos. Hom, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, My Time, Oh, I see. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda is explaining the logic of Rabbanu, argue on him. No. This Hom, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda is extra. So it's Tani Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Amir, Rotvei, Tomorrow, Turim, Minah, Pelfish, Ein, Rishish, Be, Mati, Lachron, Yos. Period. Take out the next line. Now, my time of the Rabbanon. Now the Gemara asks, what's the logic of Rabbanon who argued Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda? Okay? What can I do? I don't know what else to read it. So I'm Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera said, because they all require crevices at once. Which means, a date is ripe when it's suitable to eat when it gets little crevices in the skin. When we get them, they're really shriveled. But even when they're fresh, they're little crevices in the skin. So therefore, cracks, nooks, the peaks and valleys. So therefore, they all get those peaks and valleys at once. It's true that we leave some of them then on the tree and some of them we take right away. Because then afterwards, there are varying rates at which they're fully, fully developed. But the bare minimum development is when they get these nooks and crannies, and that happens at the same time during the year. So therefore, it's chayv and peah. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Akuli, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Tarvayo Umru, they both said kuklus, a certain type of produce, I don't know what it is, or kuklus, is considered to be a liyerek, ulemaisrus, uleshvis, ulepea, ulevikurim. It's like a vegetable in terms of meiser, and in terms of shmitah. And in terms of peah, which means it's exempt from peah, and in terms of bikurim, which means, of course, it's exempt from bikurim. However, ulanadarim tzricha, kukus is like one of these tomato-type things. We don't know if it's a it's not a question whether it's a fruit or a vegetable. It's not clear. So they're saying botanically it's a vegetable. I don't know what a kukus is, but botanically it's a vegetable. And therefore, for everything which has to do with halachos of botany, such as meiser, shmitah, and all that, its characteristics are all those of a vegetable. However, some people regard it as a fruit. So therefore, since that's the case, we don't know. A person takes the netter, he's going to abstain from fruit. Does that include a kukus or not? When people say fruit, do they mean botanical fruit? Or they mean even what people regard as fruit? And therefore, we don't know what to do with the kukus. Okay? Whatever it is. All right, new Mishnah. Halacha. Lo lamunose mishum peya. Upatamin amaisers, achi mareach. You can continually give peya from your field, and all that peya is exempt from meiser until you're mimareach, until you smooth over the pile. Now, this is a shocking thing, and the Gemara is going to pick up on this. This means even after you harvest, you can still take peya off the tolush. Until you off the kernels, which are not just harvested, but are threshed and winnowed and all that kind of stuff, until you smooth over the pile.
Doesn't that contradict?
Yes, the Gemara is going to ask on this. So it says the Gemara, v'noitel mina. We're at the top of Testament Aleph now. V'noitel mina goyren v'zorea. It says that you can take grain from your silo and plant it, upotamina miser sarach merech, and you don't have to give miser on the seeds of grain which you're planting, unless you've already smoothed over the pile. Umachil lebehemo lechayev ofu potamina miser, and you can give your grain to animals, domestic and non domesticated, and to birds, and exempt from miser sarach merech until you smooth over the pile. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, this is all true according to Rabbi Akiva. Kohen v'levi shlokos agorin es agorin. A kohen and levi, you bought the silo. Hamaisus shalhem, when the later they take off the maisus, they get to keep the maisus or the kutshrum or whatever it is. Achi marchu, unless the pile was smoothed over before they bought it. And why that should make a difference, Gemara is going to discuss. Hamakti shupo de chayv maisus. If you sanctify, you consecrate the grain, and then it's redeemed, you're chayv maiser achi marecha gizbar, unless who did the smoothing over the pile? The treasure of Hekdesh. In that case, it's the Miruach, is beyond the Biyad Hekdesh, you're exempt afterwards. You don't have to give Chumas and Maisers from it. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yossi, now comes a very difficult Gemara. This, by the way, now I want to tell you just on a tangent, before we do it, that this I see, now I'm seeing almost daily, but you see here for Gemaras like this, why there's a tremendous taiva to write Pirushim on the Yerushalmi. Because you could say anything you want and get away with it. That's what about, which is what I'm about to do. Because all the Mefarshim here, I'll tell you, all the Mefarshim start with a preconceived notion, which is preposterous. And the Ribaz here in the bottom says this notion, which I'm proceeding with, which he himself proceeds with, is crazy. But what the way they learn the Gemara Pashut is that if you take payah from your grain after you harvest it, it's exempt from maaser, but truma you have to give, because it says in our Mishnah, upatur min ha-maaseres ad shimareach. So you say, maaser you're exempt, but truma you have to give, which is kakamemi. There should be no distinction.
They didn't distinguish it.
No, nobody's ever distinguished. And whenever you say in every Mishnah, you find Potamina Maestras, it always includes both Trubus and Maestras. But they have, there's a line where which it bothers them, which forces them to say that, which of course we have to try tonight to try and avoid, because again, this is an idea which is almost untenable, even though the Pnei Moshe and Ridbaz proceed with it. Okay, after that exciting prelude, let's see what this Gemara says. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zavdi, B'shem Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Nechemia Bar Ukvan, Umatibon, some say said, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, said the following statement. Amazing statement. And again, right now, immediately in the explaining, I'm departing from what the Achronim say here. Bear in mind, everybody on the page is an Achron in this Masechta. Rabbi, what's his name? Eliezer Eisenberg told me that he once said over Pshat in Yerushalmi to Reb Moshe, who was his grandfather by marriage. He was married to Reb Moshe's granddaughter. And he said the Pnei Moshe must be wrong. You have to argue in the Pnei Moshe. So Reb Moshe said, okay, big deal. It's an Achron. Of course, you can argue on it.
He could say
okay.
That.
No, I take this as Askama. Okay. So here we say, Rav Yochanan says, Hifrish Bikurim Mikrim Memurach. You took Bikurim from a silo which has been smoothed over. Bikurim. When do you normally take Bikurim? Yeah, from what?
From the tree.
From the first fruit of the trees. You didn't take it from the first fruit on the tree. You harvested it. It's in your silo. After Miruach, you took up Bikurim. Now, that's weird, right? Yeah, usually tie a little thing around it, right? But one thing you would accomplish, says the Gemara, Hivrish Bikurim Mikrim and Burach, Potem Truma Gdol, you don't have to give Truma anymore from it. Why is that? Because Bikurim and Truma have the same parameters. They both go to the Kohen. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, one thing you gained. I know if you fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikurim, but Truma you gave. The Bikurim is Truma. Okay? That's logical, right? Says the Gemara, "Yifrish Bikurim Mikrim Memurach Potem Truma Gdola." I'm a Rabbi Chagai, Kumi Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chagai said in front of Rabbi Yosi, "Masniso Amrakei." I'll prove that to you from the Mishnah. This is amazing what the Gemara is about to do. What does it say in the Mishnah? Lo no same payah. We always give. You have to give payah. Upotem ina meiser achimarech. And you're exempt from Meiser until you're Mimarech. Okay? That's what it said in our Mishnah. Ha Mirech, But if you're mimareach, hoimareach chayev. You're already chayev. You're chayev in Meiser. But now, the Yushami does make this deal. There's nothing I can do about it. The Yushami says, Mashenkin betruma. It sounds like, however, even after miruach, although you're chayev in Meiser, you're exempt from truma. Says Yushami, how could this be?
Instead of truma.
Oh, of course. Well, he wanted, because there's a major problem with saying Mashenkin betruma. Right, that's why he changes the girsa. But that's a noob shot. That's the Rash. So Rash Tiraleo's pshat, obviously, whose girsa he had, which is interesting because Rash Tiraleo obviously changed it because of the difficulty with the current girsa. Okay, very good. I didn't know that Rash Tiraleo changed it. Mashenkin betruma, as the post of truma, is not chayvin. As the Gemara, so if that's the case, what are we proving for this? What are we proving? We're proving that the truma must be included in the Bikurim. Our Mishnah means to say, what our Mishnah means to say according to this pshat, is that when you took off the payah after miruach, why taking a payah after miruach? It must be because you forgot to take off payah before in the field, what is still out in the field. Or if you got payah, probably forgot something else. What else did you forget? Bikurim. No, truma you don't take off after miruach. So therefore he's saying our Mishnah must be assuming that this is the type of guy who's taking both bikurim and payah out of his new nismareach grain, the grain in which he just did miruach, which is chayiv now in truma. But since he's taking off now payah, mistami is taking off bikurim as well. If he's taking off bikurim, it's true. I don't know if he fulfills the mitzvah bikurim, but that potters up is truma. So he's saying that when you take off bikurim, you are now exempt from truma is proven in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah, by definition, is telling us that when you're taking off the Bikurim and Peah, all the stuff which you should have taken off when it was out in the field, you're taking off now from your silo when it's been smoothed out. It's telling you, what do you have to take off afterwards? Only Meiser. Oh, only Meiser. What happened to the Truma? Must be the Bikurim batters up the Truma. That's what our Mishnah is telling us. Okay? Says the Gemara, wait. The lema, now I too have to put a little bit of sleight of hand in this next line. I grant you that. The lema after bikurim yechayev. Afopi shalom yirech. Now, I'd rather change, even though I can read it with the afopi, I'd rather change the afopi to ad. Basically, it's the same thing. But what our question is, so let the Mishnah tell me. Just like it told me that you give payah before miruach and you put them from Meiser, why does the Mishnah tell us that you give bikurim before miruach? V'lema, it's in our Mishnah, bikurim yechayev ad shalom yireach. Right? Why does it mention it explicitly in our Mishnah? It's bothering. Why does the Mishnah not tell us about this bikurim business? Says Gemara, vaido amrado. Now, vaido, what vaido means is a very big machlokas here. The Gilian Ashas is Vidal is somebody's name. Like Vidal, I guess. That's somebody's name. There are other interpretations here. The Mashpiach says it means you don't have to say this. Vidal Amradav is Ain Tzorech Lo Marzeh. I'm not sure what the etymology is, but he says, why don't you have to say it? I like the Mashpiach Shra because it fits with what I'm going to say. Why don't you have to say Bikurim in our Mishnah? Because Lama Nikra Shmi Bikurim. Why are they called Bikurim? Shem Bikurim Lakol. Because they come first. V'chol HaKoidim is Chaveru. Chaveru Metzl Mechayebo. Anything which precedes its friend, his friend is also Chayev in it. Meaning, that when our Mishnah says that you Chayev to take payo off, even though you're already harvested, obviously, Bikurim, which are the first, which come first, they also have to be taken off as well. So what he's responding is that although it's not explicit in our Mishnah, that if you harvested without taking off Peah or Bikurim, you have to take off Bikurim and Peah, it's implicit. by the very nature of Bikurim, which means they're the first fruit, we understand, you forgot Peyam Istam, you forgot Bikurim as well. Take them both off. That's it. That's the hard part. So what we've learned here is that if you take Bikurim, if you forgot to take Bikurim off out in the field, when you harvest, you take off Bikurim. If you took off the Bikurim and Peya prior to Miruach, so then the Bikurim and Peya are exempt from Maisris, of course, and they have their status of Bikurim as Peya. If you took off the Bikurim after Miruach, it's not clear if the Bikurim has the status of Bikurim. But what does it achieve for you? It is your Truma. Now, even if it does have status, because I just want to make it clear, let's say for argument's sake, Bikurim after Miruach are Bikurim. But they still covers Truma. You know why? Because what's the shear for Bikurim? Guess. But how much do you have to give? Guess. No, the Raisa. Mashu, right? A mashu. How much do you have to give for Truma? The Raisa? A mashu. So therefore, as long as the Bikurim has two mashus in it, so Mimela, Yotze, both Bikurim and Truma, even after Miruach, right? So I don't know. Again, I'm not sure if you take Bikurim off after Miruach, or Yotze, Bikurim as well, besides Truma, but it wouldn't be a problem for me to say so, because the Bikurim can have two mashus, and then part of that mashu is Bikurim, and the other part is Truma. Okay?
This will go back to old question, but you have to have the intent to go.
I think you have to have the intent to do this. I think so, but I can't guarantee it. Could be Kurim and Truma are so true, similar, that you don't even have to have the intent. I don't know. Okay. Says the Gemara, now we have a more basic question, though. Getting back to our Mishnah. You know, pay is over after you harvested your field. Right? There ain't no pay after you harvest it. We need that. We said, at the very least, you have to leave the last stalk and all that kind of stuff. So what is this pay after you harvest it? So how can we exempt from Maisers? So this morning, you know what? I'll tell you. Masnis in the Beis Shammai. Your army is going like Beis Shammai. The Beis Shammai army, Beis Shammai says, Hefker Franim is Hefker. So big machlok is Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, you can't have Hefker unless it's Hefker both for rich people and poor people. There's no such thing as Hefker just for poor people. So you couldn't, according to Beis Hillel, you can't have a scenario of our Mishnah. You can make stuff Hefker after you harvested it. And if you make it Hefker, it's also exempt from Trumas and Maisus. But if you made it Hefker, it's got to be Hefker both for, according to Beis Hillel, both for rich and poor people. Beis Shammai says there's such a thing as Hefker only for poor people. According to Beis Shammai, I understand our Mishnah very well. And Beis Shammai, it's not really Peya after you harvest it. What is it? Hefker Anim. Hefker for poor people only. And since it's Hefker for poor people only, that's why it's tantamount to Peya. Before Miruach, that's right. If he made it Hefker before Miruach, you don't have to take off Trumas and Maisers. You're not. If he made Hefker after Miruach, it is Chayv and Trumas and Maisers. Our Mishnah says that. Chayv what? No. Beis Shammai, Hefker Anim is Hefker.
So it's Hefker
before Miruach. And neither is the Ani. Nobody's Chayv and Truma. You are. Right, because no such thing as Hefker Lanim. Right. You have to make an Hefker Fanim and Ashirim, or be part from Truma Samaisers, okay? I've asked you the Rabbi Akiva. Now, what Rabbi Akiva said goes, Chanuyas Beis Chanan, even though Chanuyas Beis Chanan are wrong. Akiva's right, they're traveling along the same path. The Rabbi Akiva said in our Mishnah, if you take grain from your silo, it's already after Miruach and plant. I think it is after Miruach. You take grain before it's Miruach, and you give it to Behemoth, Chayas, and Ophos, you're parted from Trumas and Maisers. Okay, if you take it yourself to eat, you're chayav a trumas and maisers. If you give it to an animal, you're exempt. So how does Rabbi Akiva know that? How's it you know that even when your animals eat it, you're exempt? So says the Gemara, he learns it the same way Chanius Beis Chanon learned. The Tani, we learned, Lama Chorbu Chanius Beis Bnei Chanon, why were Chanius Bnei Chanon was a place? Why were the places called Chanius Bnei Chanon destroyed? Gimel Shani Kormish Chorab Beis HaMikdash.
The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, say, in 68 or 70, depending whose calendar you use. So they were destroyed 3 years earlier than that, or 65 or 67. Right? So why they destroyed 3 years earlier is a greater punishment. They had a great rush to exempt all their fruit from Trumas and Maisers. Look what they did. You see, these guys were Jews. Look what they did. They used to darshin, David darshinan, aser ta aser. You, Maiser, the person who harvests, prat lokeach. So right off the bat, they patterned half the population from Trumas and Maisers. Any, because it means the farmer has to harvest, has to take off Trumas and Maisers, not the buyer. Pratlo aser taser, you the harvester, not the buyer. Okay? So they patterned all the buyers. Then they darshan v'achalta, and you shall eat pratlo moicher. That excludes all the sellers, because they're not eating. So both sellers and buyers are exempt from Trumas and Maisers. So in Chanius Beis Chanon, the only people who took off Trumas and Maisers were the poor Nebuchadnezzar farmers who ate their own produce. But anybody who sold or anybody who bought was exempt from Trumas and Maisers. So for making this big drusha, this very large, very cute drusha, they got destroyed 3 years before everybody else. Now the thing is that, however, there's a shred of truth in what they were saying, because they darshan v'achalta. And you shall, when you eat, right? So they dashed incorrectly. They said, Dafke, if you eat it, not if you sell it. We don't dash that. But we dash in Vachalta, V'lo achilas behema chayva ofos. If you eat it, you're chayva drumas and maisers immediately. But if your animal eats it, as long as it's before miruach, it's exempt from drumas and maisers. Okay? Says the Gemara.
Pardon my ignorance.
Yeah.
What is the halacha when you carry it over the threshold
of the that's the threshold of your house.
Oh.
Threshold of your house, not the threshold of your home. So. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Mr. Zuger, the Mishnah said that if you chayev, if a Kohen, Levi buys, or a Kohen buys, the grain in the silo before Miruach, and then he takes off the truma of the Maisa, he gets to keep it himself. The Kohen keeps the truma, the Levi keeps the Maisa. It's from our Mishnah was clear, if you bought it after Miruach, the same silo, the Levi cannot keep the trumas, or the Kohen cannot keep the trumas, nor Levi keep the maisers. He has to give them, Kohen must give them to another Kohen, or Levi to another Levi. Why, says Gemara? Am Rabbi Yochanan knas kontulem. They find the Kohen min Levim, shelo yukovtim legitos legronos. They shouldn't jump all the time to the wine presses and to the silos in order to buy the grain. It's not dignified. So therefore, in order to make sure they didn't buy it, they kept them away from it. They're saying that even if they bought it after Miruach, they have to give it away to some other coin and some other Levi, the Trumas and Maisers thereof. What about a Tabach Kohen? What about if you have a Kohen who's a Shoichet? Can he keep the Zrol Chaim and Keva, the parts of the animal which go to the Kohen, the tongue, the cheeks, and I mean the tongue, the Zroa, the forearm, the L'chayayim are the cheeks and the tongue, and the Keva are the stomach, the, can he keep them for himself? Okay, so it's a Machlokas. No, it's not a Machlokas. You confuse me. The answer is no. The question is when it becomes no. Chevraya b'shem Rabbishum and Levi say, Potlo Shabbos Echad. For the first week he's in business, he can keep them to himself. Afterwards, he has to give them all to other Kohanim. I'm Rabbi Yossi, as Lisa Daroim, I went down to the south. V'shamitz Rabbi Chanan avoid Rabbi Shimon b'shem Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says, Patli Shabbos Achaz, the first week he's exempt. Rabbi Yudha Medami Lei Lo Hada. Rabbi Yudha likens it to our case. The Knas Konsulem. They gave them a Knas. Meaning, we took it away from them, because otherwise, the people, you know, the Kohanim will all become butchers, Shreichtim, in order they should keep the Zerol Chaim and Keva themselves.
Amalei Rabbi Yisrael has said, wait, v'imashum knas, if it's a knas, afilu Shabbos achos lo yiftar lei. Let's not even let him keep it for the first week. Why are we letting him keep it first week? All right, good question, but nonetheless, it is a knas. Obviously, it's a knas. It can't be daraisa. Daraisa, of course, the kohen can keep his own zerolachayim and keva. It's a rabbinic enactment. What about a chenvani kohen? What about he's not the shaykhid, he's a butcher? Now, what's the difference between a shaykhid and a butcher? You'll ask. You'll be a good question. The difference is that a shaykhid is shaykh his own animals. A chenvani is an agent. He's an agent for the shaykhid. So he's kind of a middleman, a broker, an animal broker, slaughtered animal broker. So says the Gemara, Chenvani Koy Rabbi Omar, Pachal Shabbos Achas, he also, the first week he's in business, he can take the Zerol Chaim and Keva of the animals who he's brokering and keep them for himself. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omar, Pachal Shabbos Achad, he says, we don't even give him 1 week. So ask him, I'll die to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, you've been man what? Ben chenvoni tabach. What's the tree in a chenvoni? Would only give a week, and a butcher we give a week. Says more chenvoni yichol harim. A chenvoni, he could say he's an agent for Yisrael's animal, who's exempt. He says he's an agent for a kohen's animal, which is exempt from zerol chaim and keva. He says, oh, zerol chaim and keva, they're getting kept by the. By the Kohen himself was a slaughterer, right? But he might be lying. Maybe this comes from Yisrael's animal, which is Chaim Yisrael, Chaim and Keva. And he's just saying in order to keep it for himself. So therefore we're afraid that he's being treacherous. In other words, that he has Yisrael butchers at Shoichid animals, which he's selling, which is really Chaim Yisrael, Chaim and Keva, and he's keeping it to himself. Whereas the Tabach, you know, Yochol Arim, by a Shochid who shared his own animals. We know he's a Kohen Yisrael. We don't... By a company, we don't know who he's representing. So we're afraid he's going to pull some fast ones. During that week, we let him keep it for himself. By a tabach, we know who he's representing. He's representing himself. He owns the animals. So therefore, we know he's a Kohen Yisrael. We don't have to be concerned about it's cheating us. So we give him a week, which he keeps to keep it for himself.
A tabach was never an agent
for
someone else's animals?
No, not according to this Gemara. Tabach is the shoychet, the chenvani is the agent. Okay, the storekeeper is the agent.
And we
don't even give a week to keep because we're afraid he's going to be representing Yisrael and claim that he's representing a Kohen and he's going to keep it for himself. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tani, we learned. Lo Nechlu is a fascinating Gemara. Look at the. See if you can catch what's wrong with this Gemara. Remember, you know, the pictures, what's wrong with this picture? Look at the next line. What's wrong with this Gemara? Tani lo nechleku Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did not have a machlokes. What's wrong with this? Same person, right? Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Anasi are both the same person. Not in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Anasi are not necessarily the same person. We don't know. So there's one interpretation which says, I saw one of the Rishonim says, one of the people in the back says that Reish Beis Yud is supposed to be Rabbi Yossi. It's a Rosh Hatevis. But and another Gersa says this is Berebi. Berebi is a Tata. There's a Tata named Berebi.
It says Berebi
there. He has Berebi. But it happens, it seems, this is although it's the first time we've seen it, it seems that it happened several times in the Yerushalmi that it says Rebbe arguing on Rabbi Yud HaNasi. Okay? So we learned in the Braisa. Tani, lo nechlu Rebbe Rabbi Yud HaNasi al lokeach peres mechubar min hagoy. If you bought a fruit which is still connected to the ground from a goy, shein chayv ma'aser, so shili chayv ma'aser. V'al sheiso shenich das tachtot. And if you bought fruit from the Yisrael who bought from the goy, obviously you're also chayv ma'aser. V'al keach peres mechubar min hagoy. Nobody argued that if you bought already fruit which is already harvested from a goy, you go to a store, you go to Dominic's, right, and you buy fruit, and even Eretz Yisrael. You go to a non-Jewish person, you buy the fruit from him, it's exempt from Meisters. What did they argue on? You bought fruit from your friend in a year of Meisterani, and you yourself are okay. Well, this is my little. So let me not give it away. I bought fruit from you in a Maaser Ani year. You had not yet taken off Maaser Ani. That's the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. I buy it. Now, what salach do I have to give Maaser Ani? So look here. Rabbi Nosi Yomer, even though I'm a poor kollelnik, I still have to give my sarani. I can't keep it for myself. Just like we learn our Mishnah, the lady who buys the harvested grain, which is very smoothed over, can't keep the mices for himself. The tabach kohen can't keep the zrol chaim and kev for himself. I can't keep the sarani for myself. Says the Gemara again. The poor guy who buys doesn't can't keep the mitzvah for himself. God give it away. Rabbi Yomer, no. Osher Motzino some Yado. Motzino, if I'm rich, I got to give it up. Only if I'm poor, I get to keep the mitzvah on myself. I have to tithe it, but I get to keep it. My time with Rabbi Yonasi. What's the answer, Rabbi Yonasi? So says the Gemara. A person, if you're an Ani and you're harvesting your field, you have to give Leket Shechem Peh. You can't take it yourself. You gotta leave it. So too, Ken Lo Yitzka Maaser Ani, you can't take your own Maaser Ani. My time with the Rebbe, that's a good spar. What does Rebbe do with that? Rebbe says, Leket Shechem Peh ain't toivling. Leket Shechem Peh, there's no such thing as Leket Shechem Peh prior to it being tithed. You gotta forget it. You gotta, well, both Lek and Shechar are forgetting things, or you have to leave it. So it's something which you are in required to do. Once you're required to do, it's not yours anymore. You have to give it up. By Maaser Ani, we hold coin this Gemara. It existed in theory when you bought it already. It's not something which you must do. It's extant. This Gemara holds like the principle we saw several times broadly. In other words, Maaser Ani is there in the fruit, even though you don't see it right now. Lek and Shechem Peh are not there in the fruit. You, as the Baal Bas, must bring them into fruition. So therefore, if you have to bring them into fruition, you must therefore dispense with them outside of yourself. Whereas Maaser Ani, it exists in principle as being a tenth of this fruit here. So therefore, when you bought the stock of fruit, you bought the rights to the Maaser Ani together with buying the fruit. That's his distinction. Says the Gemara. Again, my time with the Red Lubrabi, Lek and Shechopet ain't Toivlin. They don't exist in the Tevil state. Maaser Ani Toivlin already exists in the Tevil state. For Nitbal, the Rezi was in the Tevil state, Achibusujurishal, when it was in the other first guy's possession. So therefore, when you bought it, you bought the rights of the Maaser Ani as well. My time with the Rabbi Yossi, if that's the case, Taka, my time with the Rabbi Yehuda Nossi. Why is the Rabbi Yehuda Nossi arguing that? It's a good svara. You bought the rights of the Maaser Ani. Why can't you keep them? Says Mor, you're right. Theoretically, you could keep it. Mishum Knas. He takes away from you, you're right. Not because of the Raisa, but because of the Knas to Rabbanon. That you shouldn't keep your own Maaser Ani because it's not proper. If that's the case, my time at the Rebbe. Hey, if that's the case, what's the logic of Rebbe? He should agree to that too. Why doesn't Rebbe agree to that? Let's make a Knas. You bought Maaser Ani. You want to keep it? No way. Why don't we make a knas? Just like you make a knas by a Kohen. So I made a knas by the Levi and the Mishnah. Why can't we make a knas by the Ani? We'll take it away from him. So this is why I didn't want to make such a knas. My time with the Rebbe, Osher Yesh Biyoda Likach. And Osher, you make him give out the Maaser Ani, he'll buy more fruit. You make him give out the 10%, he'll get it from somewhere else. Ani, Ain Biyoda Likach, he doesn't have the wherewithal. It would be not proper, not compassionate to take away from him the Maaser Ani and make him buy something for that 10%. So if he didn't make a knas for Ani, Rabbi Yehuda Anosi Yehemer, okay, Motsu Lilvos, and go borrow money and buy grain. Where's his business? He doesn't have money. So go borrow the money. Seems a little bit stern, but that's what he says. Rabbi Yehemer, Ain't no motzi lilvos. He's a poor person. He doesn't have a credit rating. He won't even be able to borrow money to go and buy the mice of the fruit corresponding to the mice running. So therefore, since that is the case, it will be cruel and improper to require him to give up relinquish the mice running. That's where we allow him to keep it. And that is the machlokas, Rabbi Yonasi and Rabbi Hajran Alach Eludvarim. We will stop him this evening.